Support for Access Utah comes from the Utah Humanities Council, enriching cultural, intellectual, and civic life by providing opportunities for all Utahns to explore life's most engaging questions and the wonders of the human experience.
As governor of the great state of Utah, I am pleased to report that the state of our state is strong.
Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. That's Governor Herbert, of course, from his annual State of the State address. It happened last night. Hope perhaps you caught all or part of that on Utah Public Radio, along with the Democratic response. But as a service, in case you missed it, we're going to give you most of the governor's speech, some 20 minutes or so, and all of the Democratic response, which is about 4 minutes, in the first half of the program today. As you've been reading, or as you heard, or as you will hear, the governor praised the state for being a magnet for businesses. In fact, he touted Utah as being once again Forbes magazine's number one state for business. He also struck a decidedly anti-federal government tone. That tone was criticized by Democrats, particularly Senator Romero, called it a little excessive. And Representative Litvak says that it was 50% policy and 50% campaign speech. We'll get reaction from you. You can call in following these speeches in response in the second half of the program at 1-800-826-1495 with your reaction and what you think priorities should be at the legislature. If you have a specific piece of legislation you would like to tout, we'd love to have your comments as well. And we'll have on with us the party chairman for Utah, Democrats Chairman Jim DeBacchus, and for the Republicans, Thomas Wright. All of that in Access Utah today, and we begin with a big portion, most of Governor Herbert's speech from last night.
As governor of the great state of Utah, I am pleased to report that the state of our state is strong and growing stronger. I want you to know that I am very optimistic about Utah's future. While our national economy continues to struggle, the economy in Utah surges ahead. Our unemployment rate continues to steadily fall. We currently have the second fastest rate of job creation in the nation. Every sector of our economy is growing again except one, and I'm proud to say the sector that is not growing is state government. Utah's success is not only consistently recognized, it is increasingly praised by those outside our borders. Now, some people have said that I talk about our rankings a little too much. And it may be a fair observation, but I hope that you are as proud of Utah as I am. We have a great state, we have a great message, and we're making great progress. I believe Utah's governor should be the state's chief advocate and champion. And I'm simply not going to stop touting Utah's accomplishments. I should point out, our accolades have less to do with me and everything to do with we. Indeed, they reflect the efforts of individuals here in this room and many others across the state. Some of our recent recognitions include being named the state with the best economic outlook and the most dynamic economy. And for the second consecutive year, Utah's been named the best state for business by Forbes magazine. These rankings speak to Utah's economic strength. But this is not just about rankings, it's about economic recovery for the people of Utah. My focus is on growing the economy, because I know a strong economy fosters healthy communities and prosperous families. While our recognition is nice, the underlying reasons for that recognition are what is most important. Forbes wrote, and I quote, "No state can match the consistent performance of Utah. It is the only state that ranks among the top 15 states in each of the six main categories on which we rate the states," close quote. Those six categories are economic climate, growth prospects, labor supply, business costs, regulatory environment, and quality of life. Tonight, I will use the criteria of those economic experts to highlight Utah's progress and our prospects. Let's start with our current economic climate. In 2011, we added more than 36,000 jobs to our economy. Our unemployment rate has dropped from 7.5 to 6.0, a full 2.5% lower than the national average. Gross domestic product, personal income, and business income continue to steadily rise. And Utah still leads the nation in export growth. You might remember that at last year's State of the State, I challenged our business community to further increase our export growth, and they have responded with vigor. In 2011, we saw a 41% increase in exports, breaking records that we set in 2009 and 2010. Utah's economic climate is healthy, but we must not relent in our efforts to improve. I recognize there are people who are still hurting financially. And I've met with many of you throughout the state. I want you to know I am committed to working for all of you. There are, in fact, approximately 80,000 Utahns who are looking for work. And I will not rest, and I know that you, the legislature, will not rest until every Utahn who wants a job can find a job. My goal is to accelerate private sector job creation of 100,000 jobs in 1,000 days. I emphasize private sector because it is the private sector, not government, that creates wealth, creates jobs, and creates opportunities for Utah's citizens. Government must create an environment where free enterprise can succeed, and then get out of the way. Let me give you just one of many examples where business is thriving in Utah's fertile field. Started 25 years ago in a garage, Lifetime Products now employs more than 1,300 people in Utah and was recently courted by many other domestic and international locations for a planned expansion. Ultimately, Lifetime determined that its home state of Utah was the best place to invest. This story is repeating itself hundreds of times across our state. And Utah's steady job growth reaches far beyond just the Wasatch Front. Last year, I visited 28 of Utah's 29 counties. And don't worry, Daggett County, I'm headed your way. In my travels, I have been amazed at the creativity and ingenuity of our rural employers. For example, in the tiny town of Grouse Creek, I met Heather Warr, who is here with her family tonight. In order to supplement her family's ranching income, Heather started an e-commerce business, selling Western apparel and footwear online. Her company, StandUpRanchers.com, now employ 7 people, making Heather a major employer in a community of 100 residents. From fiber optic communication providers to hay exporters to composite manufacturers to online retailers, people are finding unique opportunities and advantages in rural Utah. And Heather Warr exemplifies the innovation and initiative inherent in Utah's people. The second criterion is growth prospects. Utah is a fertile field in which to grow a new company or to relocate or expand an existing company. This past September, I went to New York to meet with executives from L3 Communications, a $16 billion high-technology company with locations in 30 states and 20 countries. The purpose of my visit was to convince them to expand their Utah operations. And I've got to admit, it wasn't much of a hard sell. L3 told me they love doing business in Utah. In fact, their Salt Lake City unit as one of their most successful and profitable divisions. Not by coincidence, just last month, L3 announced it would be concentrating its growth here in Utah, building new office space and hiring hundreds of new employees. In the past year, expansions and new jobs have been announced not only by L3, but by other international companies like eBay, Boeing, Morgan Stanley, IM Flash, and Pepperidge Farms, just to name a few. I'm delighted to say something that not many governors can say. Our state is growing now, today. And as we look to the horizon, Utah's growth prospects are truly bright. Anyone who understands the free market knows that there are few things that hinder growth more than onerous taxation, as I did last year. And the year before that, in order for us to sustain our successful economic recovery, I say to you today, and to the people of Utah, no new taxes. And in fact, I want to go one step further. Due to our wise trust fund management and our nation-leading record of helping people move from unemployment back into the workforce, Utah is in a position to reduce our unemployment insurance tax rates. I call upon you, the legislature, to support Senate Bill 129, sponsored by Senator Kurt Bramble and Representative Jeremy Peterson, to provide this timely tax cut to all of Utah's 85,000 employers and allow them to create more jobs and to hire more people. The third criterion is labor supply, or more aptly put, a skilled and educated workforce. I have said before, Utah is the best state for business because we have the best people for business. Utah has natural advantages with our young, fast-growing, tech-savvy, highly educated, bilingual, and industrious workforce. Utah is also a proud right-to-work state, and we are going to keep it that way. In today's global marketplace, educating and graduating job-ready students is an economic imperative. With the help of Representative Mel Brown and Senator Lyle Hilliard, we have expanded early intervention programs for our at-risk students, programs empirically proven to help reach our critical goal of reading proficiency by the end of the third grade. We will soon introduce additional online college courses, providing another avenue for high school students to earn college credit before graduation. We are also expanding UtahFutures.org, which provides students with online career counseling to ensure that the education they receive today will get them a job tomorrow. My message to students is simple. If you want a good job, get a good education. Now it is up to us, assembled here, to make sure that they can. My top legislative priority is to fund the growth and continued innovation in our education system. My budget calls for maintaining base funding and for $111 million in new money for our public schools, including a modest but well-deserved pay increase for our teachers. Post-secondary education is also increasingly becoming a necessity in today's global marketplace. So I've set a goal that 66% of Utah adults will have a degree or professional certification by the year 2020. This is an ambitious goal, but an essential one. Remember the goal, 66 by 2020. And I believe working together, we will reach it.
That's Governor Gary Herbert. That's last night from the State of the State address. In fact, we're giving you most of his address in case you missed it. We're going to have reaction later on from State Republican Party Chairman Thomas Wright and State Democratic Party Chairman Jim DeBacchus. Hope to have your reaction as well. And we'd love to know what you think the legislative priorities should be. Any policy issues that you'd like to comment on? We'll be taking those comments in just about 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to, after a brief break, complete the governor's speech. Then we'll have the Democratic response, and then on with our guests and your reaction as well. It's Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Thanks for listening.
Support for coverage of the Utah Legislature comes from USU's Department of Journalism and Communication, dedicated to free expression and mutual understanding in the information age, and covering breaking Cache Valley news at hardnewscafe.usu.edu.
The fourth criterion the economic experts considered is the cost of doing business, particularly the cost of energy. Because Utah's electricity costs are an impressive 31% below the national average, we have a major competitive advantage over other states. In order to protect that advantage for the future, we must secure Utah's supply of stable, low-cost energy, and we must do it now. With Utah's first 10-year strategic energy plan that I put in place last year, we are creating a framework to secure our energy independence. My administration is aggressively promoting responsible energy development in Utah. We have demonstrated in the Uinta Basin and elsewhere that developing our energy resources and being good stewards of the environment are not mutually exclusive propositions. One of the major challenges for energy development is that many of Utah's natural resources must be extracted from federally managed public lands. While we have made progress in persuading the federal government to site and permit oil and gas wells, there remains great challenges still ahead. We cannot, and we will not, let the federal government halt responsible energy development in Utah. And because we owe it to our children and their children, we must also innovate safer and cleaner ways to extract natural resources and to utilize energy. As governor, I'm calling on the private sector and our major universities to lead out. Our goal is to create an energy research triangle that launches Utah into a new era of energy technology innovation. I firmly believe that all solutions and all opportunities must be based upon principles of free markets and free enterprise. Therefore, we will partner with industry and caring citizens to tackle one of the greatest challenges that we have with energy development in our state, and that is the issue of air quality. We cannot control the weather. But neither can we ignore the human and economic consequences of poor air quality. I am taking the lead on this issue by building partnerships with Utah industries and households to set achievable and vital air quality goals. I will be announcing the details of my plan in the coming weeks. I can promise you this: the solutions to our unique Utah challenges with air quality will come from Utah. I do believe that together, we can all do something to improve the Utah's air. Now, the fifth category is state regulatory environment. Before they invest precious capital, entrepreneurs want a stable and predictable environment and a responsible government. Utah boasts a long history of fiscally prudent governance. In contrast to the federal government, Utah's made the tough decisions to keep our fiscal house in order. We balance our budget, and we save taxpayers millions each year by protecting our AAA credit rating. In addition, my budget proposal eliminates our remaining structural imbalance and calls for no additional borrowing. Those decisions provide the stable and steady environment the marketplace seeks and needs in order to thrive. In my travels around the state, one of the most common concerns business owners share with me is the cost, the complexity, and the uncertainty created by excessive government regulation. In last year's State of the State, you will remember, I ordered a review of all of Utah's business rules and regulations. It resulted in 368 proposed rule changes to improve Utah's already laudable regulatory environment. And we will work with you, the legislature, to modify or repeal those rules that no longer serve a compelling public interest. Now, frankly, the vast majority of regulations causing the most harm to Utah businesses come from Washington, D.C. Part of that regulatory colossus created by an overreaching, out-of-control, and out-of-touch federal government. I am determined to work with our congressional delegation and my fellow governors to tell the Washington bureaucrats to get out of the way of Utah's economic recovery and stop the senseless flow of onerous and misguided regulations from our nation's capital. The last category by which Forbes judged Utah the best state for business is our quality of life. We are truly blessed to live in the Beehive State. Not only are we surrounded by unsurpassed natural beauty, we also enjoy the beauty of strong communities, strong families, and a culture of caring and service. 2 months ago, a devastating windstorm tore through Davis and Weber counties, leaving tons of debris and millions of dollars of damage in its wake. With a second storm threatening, local leaders were concerned debris could become airborne and cause even further damage. Tens of thousands of citizens sprang into action and fanned out across neighborhoods to assist in cleanup efforts. Volunteer crews accomplished in days what would have taken the city and county crews months to do. It was a stunning and moving example of the spirit of volunteerism and love of neighbor which permeates Utah and which contributes so greatly to Utah's outstanding quality of life. It is also an impressive example of another Utah trait, our self-sufficiency. In Utah, we do not expect others to solve our problems. As a sovereign state, we not only have an obligation to find Utah solutions to Utah problems, but we have a right to do so. We will not capitulate to a federal government that refuses to be constrained by its proper and constitutionally limited role. Whether it's fighting the federal government on ownership and control of our RS-2477 roads and rights-of-way, restoring our mule deer population, defending multiple use of our public lands, ending the budget-busting drain of Medicaid, or challenge the constitutionality of mandatory nationalized health care in the Supreme Court, be assured that this governor is firmly resolved to fortify our state as a bulwark against federal overreach. Last October, in a one-room schoolhouse in Grouse Creek, Utah, I met a young boy named Heston. He told me he'd been taking piano lessons for 1 year and 2 months. He was going to play something for me after we had lunch. After lunch, Heston made his way to the piano, and frankly, I was expecting a simple ditty like Chopsticks. But instead, I got Beethoven, dynamic and intricate music emanating from an old upright piano in the town that had 2 hours from the nearest stoplight. Utah is a state full of gems like Heston. Gems that, when polished and made to sparkle through hard work and the desire to succeed, add brilliance to our landscape. In every corner of our state, Utah's source of richness and strength is its people. I'm optimistic about Utah's future because I believe in Utah's people. Utah's best days still lie ahead, because Utahns are willing to put in the hard work necessary to be the architects of our own destiny. Utah is leading the way and setting the example for the rest of the nation to follow. In the darkest days of the economic crisis, Utah stood true to the founding principles of our great nation, and we now see the fruits of that determination. I've spoken tonight of some of my goals and plans for the state. Having these goals and plans is important, but frankly, writing things down on paper is the easy part. Making it work, the implementation and the execution, that is what counts. Hard work demands dedication, determination, and discipline. Everything I do as governor is examined through the lens of whether it helps grow the economy and create opportunity for Utah's citizens. That continues to be my commitment to you. I will keep my eye on the ball, and I will fight for the sound and correct principles of fiscal prudence, limited government, individual liberty, coupled with personal responsibility. Whether preparing a household budget or a state budget, whether you are the governor or a small business owner, and I've been both, I can tell you the principles are the same. By adhering to sound principles now, we will build a bright future for tomorrow. Not only will Utah be the best state for business, we will continue to be a place where communities and families will thrive and prosper. The state of our state is strong. I am committed to making it stronger. I'm honored to serve as your governor. May God continue to bless you, our great nation, and the great state of Utah. Thank you.
On Access Utah today, the governor's State of the State address, in case you missed it, will have reaction to several of the points that the governor made, especially about business focus, the anti-federal government focus, and some of the specific policy proposals brought up by the governor. We'll have reaction in about 6 minutes from the state party chairman, Thomas Wright, with the Republicans, and Jim DeBacchus with the Democrats. Hope to have your reaction and looking ahead to the legislative priorities from you at 1-800-826-1495. That'll be coming up. You're listening to Access Utah. We're looking at the state of the state from perspective of the governor, perspective of the Democrats, and your perspective on Access Utah today. Following a brief break, we're going to hear the official Democratic response. That's coming up.
Support for Access Utah comes from Crum Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Now with new hours, open Monday through Saturday 7 until 3 and Saturday 8 until 3, offering a changing menu of French breakfast pastries with local seasonal fruits and serving lunch sandwiches.
Good evening. I'm Senator Ross Romero, Democratic leader in the Utah State Senate. Thank you for your civic engagement for tuning in tonight to learn more about the important issues and unique challenges that we face as a state. I want you to know that Utah Democrats are working on behalf of you and your family. We recognize the struggles so many of us have had to endure during the economic downturn over the past several years. But there is good news and opportunity on the horizon. We are pleased that Utah's economy is now headed in a positive direction. For the first time in several years, our state is beginning to once again see a surplus in our state budget. Utah Democrats are excited for what the future holds, and we look forward to working with you over the next 6 weeks as we propose and pass legislation that will strengthen Utah's economy and prepare us for the future. At this time, I'd like to introduce you to my colleague, Representative David Litvak, your Democratic leader in the Utah House of Representatives, who will discuss some of the Democratic proposals for the 2012 legislative session.
Thank you, Senator Romero. Tonight, I'd like to speak with you about some proposals from my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate. Proposals that we believe will lead to a brighter future, a future where Utah will once again realize the promise of economic strength and prosperity. This year, Democrats will introduce legislation to help Utah's growing veteran population through increased access to higher education. We will assist working families by protecting your consumer rights. Utah Democrats will also present measures to keep all of us healthy through better cancer screening and prevention, and we will address the poor air quality we face in our state. Utah's strong economy has always depended on an educated workforce. For Utah to attract further high-paying jobs, we must double our efforts to ensure we have educated and qualified employees for the future. From our neighborhood schools to higher education and career programs, Democrats recognize this vital importance and renew our pledge to provide a better future for our children. No less than the success of our economy depends upon our efforts now. I would now like to turn the time back to Senator Romero, who will talk more about our plan for Utah's public schools.
Thank you, Representative Litvak. For many years, the state of Utah has been number one in business, economic development, tourism, and even number one in science, technology, and research. In many ways, we're doing very well as a state. So why is it that our schools continue to be ranked 42nd in the nation? This must change. Our schools should be the very best in the nation. This year, Utah Democrats are introducing legislation designed to put Utah on a path to make Utah schools number one. Utah Democrats believe that every Utah child deserves four things: an excellent teacher, individualized attention, world-class curriculum, and neighborhood and family support. If we reduce class sizes in the lower grades or give teachers a little extra help in the classroom, we can do wonders to help our students succeed. Educating Utah's children has been and will always be our top priority. Utah Democrats understand that while the economy is recovering, family budgets are recovering too. But let me be very clear. We do not believe it is fiscally wise to raise taxes on Utah's working families. That's why I'm pleased to announce that the House and Senate Democrats' Best Schools Initiative includes a funding plan which reprioritizes our resources and does not raise taxes. We simply need to change our focus in order to do what's best for Utah's kids. During the economic downturn of the past several years, we have worked diligently to streamline our state budget. Due to Utah's wise fiscal management, we are now seeing more funding coming into our state revenues. Utah Democrats believe in using this increased revenues for long-term security of our future. Best Schools Initiative is designed to wisely plan for Utah, to give our children the very best opportunities, to create new jobs and new businesses, and to secure our economic strength and prosperity. Thank you again for being with us tonight. We look forward to working with our colleagues in both the House and the Senate to meet these important goals. And as always, we look forward to seeing you and working with you at this year's legislative session and beyond. Good night.
Support for coverage of the Utah Legislature comes from the USU Charter Credit Union, serving members with online bill payer and web teller services for around-the-clock account access. Information is at usuccu.org.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. We have heard Governor Herbert's speech from last night. We've also heard the official Democratic response, and those are three perspectives in this case, because Democratic response included Representative Litvak and Senator Romero. We'd love to have your perspective on the state of the state and what the priorities should be. The number to call is 1-800-826-1495, 800-826-1495. We're going to bring in two more perspectives, and we welcome in the state party chairman, Republican Party Chairman Thomas Wright. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Democratic Party Chairman Jim DeBacchus, thanks for joining us.
Hello to Thomas.
Looks like we have may have a problem with the line there, Mr. DeBacchus. We'll check that. Let me start with Mr. Wright. General response, anything that stood out to you especially from the governor's speech last night?
I really appreciated the governor's reminding us all what a great state we live in and how much the Republican governance over the last 30 years has changed for all of us in the state of Utah. But I especially liked his focus on education and on getting more funding into public education. And I think both parties are interested in making that a top priority for the state, and that was very encouraging for me.
Do you think there's too much focus on business? Most of his speech was the business rankings. Is that going to be at the expense of some other priorities that should be?
No, I don't think too much focus is put on that because, you know, business and the private sector is what's going to create jobs and lead to the economic recovery of this country. And that's really the fundamental difference right now between the Republican approach and the Democrat approach. The Democrat approach is more about having the government lead the recovery and growing the size of government, and the governor's approach and the Republican approach in Utah has been to grow the private sector and to create jobs so that the private sector can lead the recovery. And he outlined that. I think he did a good job of reminding everybody how well we've done in Utah, but that we have a lot more to do and that we still have issues and that we're going to, you know, do our best to tackle them. And I think public education should be the number one priority. And I think the governor articulated that very well, and I think the Democrats in their response articulated that as well.
Let me bring in Jim DeBacchus. Let's see if the phone line's a little better here. Welcome to the program, Mr. DeBacchus.
It's always a pleasure. I love listening to your station, especially it is a savior traveling through southern Utah. There you are, that beacon. Thank you for what you do. Why don't you get the signal in the Salt Lake?
Well, we'd we need to talk to the governor or somebody about that. The Republicans, perhaps we'd need a lot of money, but we'd love to be in there. Thanks for listening. Mr. DeBacchus, your general reaction to the governor's speech last night?
My general reaction is that the people and the state are doing much better than this riddled with scandals and badly administered government that the Republicans have been in charge of for 30 years. They talk the talk, education, education, education. For the last 27 years, Utah has been 50th in funding. There is a cataclysm going on right now. The school bus is going off a cliff. We've gone from 15th or 16th to 42nd in what our school children are doing as far as test results and education. The amount of graduation rates has dipped 8% over the last 5 years. The cheapness and the lack of commitment to education by this Republican extremist that's finally paying the price, and we're in danger of wiping out a whole generation of school kids. It's a serious matter. And if that was the only problem, that would be bad enough. But riddled all over state government are a lot of cesspools. And we've got a great governor, gubernatorial candidate. A year from now, I predict we're going to have a wonderful change in leadership, and the state of this state is going to be upbeat, but with a plan to get us off the bottom of being 50th in educational funding and 42nd in performance. Our kids are too valuable to waste away.
Mr. Wright, I'm sure you have a different opinion. The governor does have increase in funding for the increase in students, I believe, in his budget. Your response?
Yeah, I mean, it's a significant increase. And I agree with Chairman DeBacchus that we've got to do better with our public education system. I don't think there's any Republican in the state that thinks we're doing a good job. We've got challenges. We've got to do a better job than we've done in the past. It's one of our biggest challenges in Utah. And one of the reasons that it's our biggest challenge is that the federal government controls 75% of our state. In other words, the public lands comprise 75% of our geography. And Secretary Salazar and President Obama are too busy pandering to the environmental groups back east in Washington, East Coast environmental groups that couldn't care less if the children of Utah are educated. And so we can't tax those lands. We don't get any property tax revenue from them. We can't utilize the resources on them to generate revenue. And so we're at a major disadvantage. There isn't another state in the country that's 75% owned by the federal government that doesn't have any revenue coming from it. So we've got to do a better job of getting President Obama and Secretary Salazar, who comes out to Utah and refers to Zion National Park as Zion National Park. And we've got to figure out a way to get some money from our public lands. We're at a major disadvantage compared to all the other states. We've overcome that over a long period of time. But quite frankly, the federal government's out of touch with Utah, and they're not doing very much to help us in Utah educate our kids. And we need their help because they're controlling 75% of our state.
Chairman DeBacchus, let me get a reaction from you. There's a strong anti-federal tone in the speech. A quote from the governor, "We will not capitulate to a federal government that refuses to be constrained by its proper and constitutionally limited role." Senator Romero has said that he believes the tone was a little bit excessive. What's your view?
It's an excuse. I mean, give me a break. They've been in charge of education for 27 years. It's collapsing around us. Our neighborhood schools are not doing well. Our kids are not getting the kind of education that they need to compete with Idaho and Nevada, never mind with China and Europe. And what are they talking about? These ideological things. You know, whatever percentage of the state was federal hasn't changed since statehood. And to suddenly blame their lack of management, their lack of commitment to education on the federal government, people aren't going to buy this line. Just start dealing with the real problems in the state, and that is a serious lack of commitment to education. Two of the three last years, the Republican administration didn't even fund growth. We need a plan. We need some vision to get out of being 50th. Sometimes 51st, if the District of Columbia is included, in funding. We need to make a real commitment to the young people in this state and not just blah, blah, blah. And the governor boasts about, well, see, look at this commitment we have to education. that barely includes growth. Where's the plan to get us out of being 50th, or are the Republicans perfectly happy to have our children, our most important resource, be 50th or 51st for another generation?
Chairman Wright, your response to that specifically, the governor's budget does fund growth, but are the Republicans, would they be in support of an extra increase in the funding to, as Chairman DeBacus says, get us out of 50th or 51st?
Well, I love Chairman DeBacus' energy. He gets me going, and I love it. Whenever I'm having a slow day, I'll just give him a call. He gets me up and moving. But nobody's blaming the federal government solely for our public education problems. We know we have a problem, but we have some unique challenges in Utah. We have a lot more children per household than the national average, and it's true that the federal government's controlling a lot of our ability to control to create revenue from our public lands. That's a problem. And then you combine that with just a lot of different problems that exist. We are giving I don't remember the statistics, so I'm not going to cite it, but I know that a significant portion of our state's budget is being allocated to public education, and I think in most cases it's a higher percentage of our total budget than some states. So it's a revenue problem, and so when you have a revenue problem in a recession where you have 6% unemployment, yes, it's better than the national average, but it still isn't where it needs to be. You know, how are you going to generate more revenue? And I thought it was a very thoughtful proposal and a very specific proposal by the governor to put $111 million more into our public education system to fund the growth and to encourage everybody to have a discussion on public education. I've always said that I think Democrats in the state and the legislature have some great ideas. Senator Romero and I went to Utah public schools together. His mom was one of my teachers. So I think he has some thoughtful proposals to put forward, and I think the Republicans have some proposals. But for anybody, including Chairman DeBacus, to blame the Republicans for the position that we're in solely, it isn't fair, because Utah has some very specific and unique challenges that we've got to figure out how to overcome that haven't been going on for as long as he proposes.
Let me start this one with Chairman Wright. I want to talk about one of the hot topics from last time around. Looks like maybe it won't be as hot this time around. That's immigration. There is a proposed piece of legislation by Representative Herod, I'm learning, that would make significant changes to the guest worker provision, House Bill 116, from last time around. Does the state Republican Party take a position on this, or generally on immigration?
Well, there's a lot of differing opinions in the Utah Republican Party. The party hasn't taken a position on Representative Herod's legislation, but I'm proud of the Utah Republican Party, and I'm proud of the Republican Party across the country for taking up the debate on illegal immigration. You never hear the Democrats talk about immigration. All you heard in the State of the Union was the same thing the president has said in his last two State of the Unions, and that's, we need to do something about illegal immigration, and that's as far as they ever go. Republicans are having a debate, and it's a debate because there's differences of opinion. Some people believe in a guest worker program, other people don't, and it's been a hotly contested debate in our party. And I've been proud to be a member of the party who is having the debate and is trying to come up with solutions, because immigration is an issue that's been kicked, the can's been kicked down the road for decades, and now we're in a really difficult place in our country because we haven't dealt with it. We've had failed leadership over an extended period of time from both parties on it, and now the country's in a tough place, and we have to learn how to deal with it. But I'm proud of the Republican Party for having the debate, and I think it's adding to the dialogue, and I think it's helping our country.
Chairman DeBacus, from the point of view of the state Democratic Party, take a position on immigration, specifically this proposal to change House Bill 116.
Just a point of personal privilege here. One of the good jobs about, or one of the good parts about being in this job the last 6 months has been getting to know Chairman Wright. He's reasonable, he's honest, and he's the kind of Republican that anybody would be proud to deal with. And I feel sorry for him having to deal with all of those Republicans, and particularly on immigration. I mean, there are complete extremists in that party. I think the Democrats stand almost completely 100% behind the Utah Compact, which was a reasonable, logical set of principles put out by the LDS Church and the Chamber of Commerce and a whole boatload full of community leaders who were thoughtful and reasonable. Unfortunately, the extremists in the Republican Party simply won't allow that kind of discussion to have. And because of what happened to Senator Bennett, and because of the extremism of the Republican convention and their delegates, even the reasonable, normal, moderate Republicans now are having to go over on immigration and a lot of other issues to these extremes. For example, the DREAM Act. This is something that all Americans, anybody with a heart and a soul, ought to be for. These are children that were brought here when they were 3, 4, 5, 6. They have only known the United States. They've gone through our entire education system. They are, some of them have never even been back to their home countries. They are Utahns, and they deserve to have an education at a Utah State higher education at residence fees. But a lot of these cold-hearted people put this ideology ahead of people and just make life very, very grim for this group of Utah kids. The DREAM Act ought to be done, and it ought to be done immediately.
We're talking, if you just joined us, with the state party chairman. You just heard there from Democratic Party Chairman Jim DeBacchus. We also have with us Republican Party Chair Thomas Wright. We'd love to have your comments as well at 1-800-826-1495. We're reacting to the State of the State speech and the Democratic response. We're looking ahead to the legislative session, the policies and priorities that you feel should be at the forefront. 1-800-826-1495. Or you can email us through from our website, upr.org. That's upr.org. We have another 6 or 7 minutes left with the chairman. Let me start with this one with Chairman DeBacchus. I'd like to maybe get a list of priorities. It looks like we might have a bit of a surplus, not huge, but it's welcome news after a series of deficits with the budget. That produces even more conflict sometimes when we're fighting over a smaller piece of pie versus when we all know we don't have any extra to go around. Chairman DeBacchus, what do you think should be the top two or three priorities?
Well, one of the legislative priorities ought to be to stop all this political posturing and all these message bills and all these raising of the fists and all this pretend blah, blah, blah stuff that so many in the Republican caucus are interested in because they're so busy running for different things. Let's just roll up our sleeves like good common sense Democrats and get down to solving the problems. Air quality is a tremendously important issue. I mean, we had the worst air in America in northern Utah yesterday, and there are a lot of things that can be done about that. Education, 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 making sure our transportation system is working, making sure we are attracting companies, particularly clean companies, to Utah so that we can expand our tax base. Increasing tourism is really essential and important. And most of all, perhaps, making sure that the taxpayers are getting a well-administered state, because, frankly, we're not all that well-administered state, and we could save tens of millions of dollars a year if we had new, innovative thinking rather than this generational old Republican view of everything.
Let me ask the same question of Chairman Wright. What should be the top priorities?
Top priority of the state should absolutely be education. I mean, we've got to do a better job for our kids. They need it to be competitive. They deserve it. And there's no other state in the country that values public education more than we do. We've got to figure out a way to get more funding into public education, and not just more funding, but we've got to challenge parents to get more involved with their kids and to get more involved with the schools. We've got to challenge teachers who are already doing so much with so little to try to do more. Everybody's going to have to step up to the plate, and we're going to have to figure out a plan to get more out of what we have, because there is a limited resource right now. I wish it weren't the case, but there is. But education should be absolutely our top priority. But I think other priorities that I think are important for the state, especially as chairman of the Republican Party, is for people to attend their caucus meeting, to get involved with the process at an earlier level than they have been. We have one of the worst voter turnout rates in the country. I'd like to change that by going to a vote-by-mail system like other states have done, so people can vote in the privacy of their home. They don't have to worry about going on one specific day. Weather isn't an issue. So I hope the legislature will look at that and take that up. But I also hope everybody will go to their neighborhood caucus meetings. The Republican caucus meetings this year are on Thursday, March 15th at 7 p.m. You can start to see locations as they come up on utgop.org. We want all Republicans and any non-affiliated, they're Democrats, who want to affiliate with the Republican Party to come to our caucus meetings, to participate and to be a delegate. We need everybody in Utah to participate in the nominating of candidates. And a lot of people don't know that that starts on Thursday, March 15th, and we want them to be there. And we want more people to participate. So if you've never been, don't be intimidated. Come to your caucus meeting. Call the Utah Republican Party to learn more. But that's where it all starts. If we get more people involved in our government earlier, they'll be more engaged. Our elected officials will be more accountable to a broader base of people. And I think we'll see a dramatic change in our state government. So I hope everybody will start to participate at a higher level.
We just have about a minute left. Chairman DeBacus, would the Democrats support a measure to institute a vote-by-mail system in Utah?
Yeah, we think, I agree with everything Thomas just said about voting, but, you know, we have these children, and it is not an excuse that, oh, well, we have more children than anywhere else. You know what? We do, and we have an obligation to them, and 50th isn't good enough. Where's the vision? Where's the master plan? How are we going to get out from being 50th? How are we not going to celebrate when we fund growth and still stay 50th or 51st? That's the issue. That's what our gubernatorial candidate and our legislative candidates are going to be talking about through this next campaign season.
We'll leave it there. Out of time. We've been joined by State Republican Party Chairman Thomas Wright. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Always good to be with you, Chairman DeBacus.
And we've had Chairman DeBacus with the Democrats. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Tim.
We appreciate you both joining us. We, of course, will have continuing extensive coverage of the Utah legislature through the end of the session coming up in March. And we'll have at least one program devoted to the legislature each week. Extensive coverage in our news coverage as well here on Utah Public Radio. So we hope you'll stay tuned throughout the legislative session. By the way, coming up on Access Utah, it's Sherry Quinn with Science Questions tomorrow. On Monday, Brian Earle's gardening program, and we'll have a Sundance wrap-up with our correspondents, Stephen Smith and Sherry Quinn. And on Tuesday, in one of the segments, Governor Gary Herbert will be on with us live. You can ask him your questions. We're working on a program, by the way, coming up in the next few weeks on immigration. That was a topic brought up in this hour. We'll have with us, hopefully, Chris Kobach, Secretary of State for Kansas, who is a mover and shaker on the some of the tough new immigration laws from the states, and Bishop Wester from the Catholic Utah Diocese. Some of the programs we're working on, stay tuned and join us each weekday morning at 9 for Access Utah. Thanks for listening today.
Access Utah is a production of Utah Public Radio. You can listen to this episode or previous episodes of Access Utah anytime at upr.org, where you can find a link to subscribe to our podcast. This is Utah Public Radio, KUSR HD1 89.5 Logan, KUSK HD1 88.5 Vernal, KUSL HD1 89.3 Richfield, KUST HD1 88.7 Moab, and KUSU FM HD1 91.5 Logan.